Well, Mossy joins us live in the studio. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, guys. I'll tell you what, Wijnaldum will be a popular name in that household of that punter. He's the one who just put Liverpool 1-0 ahead with a great header.
And it's just gone 1-1.
It has just gone 1-1.
It's just gone 1-1.
Made to eat humble pie.
It's all right. So 1-1 now. West Ham have scored.
A bit nervous now, the big fella.
Well, I know the feeling because I have to say on Saturday, I don't get over losses very easily. As I'm sure you'll know, Loz, from your playing and coaching days as well. But standing there at the Sackville Hotel in Rozelle and talking to a couple of avid listeners, Rob and Andy, of the show, cheering on White Moss to get home.
Mm.
Let me down, Davey.
Let me down. Well, it was a lovely... Savatiano won that race.
Let me down.
And it was still a good performance from White Moss.
No, mate.
Still okay. It was
Moss
a good run.
Moss doesn't get associated with being a bridesmaid.
I don't think it will be. I think there's a big race in it. It's just a matter of placing him right. Savatiano, just too nippy for
it.
No
doubt I'll get the text message from you when it's time. You'll be like, Mossy, get on it.
Bang, straight on. So did you have a good weekend on the pun?
No. Okay. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
You know what you do?
My multi did get up, though.
You'd multi did?
Yeah, the EPL multi.
Just put a line through it, and we look ahead now to this next weekend ahead. Start with some A-League. By the way, well done on that article yesterday, too, I saw pop up in The Guardian over the last couple of days. A very nice story on you. Anyone interested in finding a little bit more about Mossy, head to our social media pages, especially our Twitter. There's this article on your coaching career and also what you've been able to do away from coaching on the pitch, and that's working with all these young coaches coming through and the position you now have.
Yeah, look, it was an interesting one because when Jonathan, the journalist, rang me, he said, look, I'm looking to do a story with a difference about coaching and what it's like behind the scenes when things aren't going well and then you obviously lose your job. And I thought long and hard about it, but you know, it really was a catalyst for getting involved with Football Coaches Australia. And there's so many coaches out there before me that have gone through it and they've had their phone, their lawyer and their family, and that's it. No other support around them. So, I went through it. It was interesting exercise. I'm not big on talking about myself, but it was a good exercise to go through. And if it makes a difference to one or two coaches down the line, then it'll be all worthwhile.
What do you make of the clubs considering the proposal to make foreign players exempt from a salary cap?
Well, it opens a debate as to, you know, what number of foreign players is the correct number, Loz. And, you know, I would like to see us decrease them, not increase them. And Milos Ninkovic came out after the Sydney game on the weekend and said we need to give kids a chance, and he's a foreigner. Albeit, you know, he's been here a while now and, you know, he's in a good position to make comment. And we saw what happened with the Sydney FC kids, Mark Attilio and Harry van der Sarg on the weekend, getting Sydney home in the end. And there's plenty of them out there, but if they don't get the opportunity, then you won't unearth them and find them. And it takes faith from coaches to give them that chance, but also quality senior players around them like the Ninkos to help develop them. But I think it's a good idea to exempt them from the salary cap, but I'd hate to see that open the floodgates to an increase in numbers. I think we should be going down to, you know, two or three, not up to five or six.
Mm. How concerning is it for this new franchise, MacArthur FC, to lose the chairman and their CEO and a major backer before a ball's even been kicked?
Yeah, look, I certainly don't want to be doom and gloom, but it's not a great look.
Do we know why? Why has this happened?
No, I don't. And it's interesting because they still haven't got their head coach is Ante Milicic, who's still in charge of the Matildas, of course, until after the Olympics. God willing, the Matildas get to the Olympics in their next home and away qualifier. But Rabbi Crayham has now gone. And you remember him maybe from North Queensland Fury days. He led that club. But he's left the club now. The CEO before that, Archie Fraser, left. And Lang Walker, who's a property magnate and bankrolled the bid, he's now sold out. He's 50% share. Yeah, so I don't know. I tend to think they need to come out publicly and explain what's going on because while they're trying to build their supporter base without kicking a ball, I think they need to inform people. But it's certainly not great signs.
No, I mean, we've sort of spoken about this before about, you know, with NRL expansion and other things, before these new clubs come in, shouldn't all the other clubs be flying? Shouldn't the league be flying in general before you look at expanding?
Well,
or do you think you need to...
Like everything, Davey, there's two sides to the story. You know, maybe it needs that expansion to inject something fresh into the league and create more opportunity for the young players coming through. But you've got to get the balance right with everything. And, you know, I'm a Liberal, so I'm always about balance, whether I like it or not. But, yeah, look, Western United, you know, they started the season so well. They haven't got a home ground. Things are on the slide a little bit there as well, so they need to get their grip back again. The league needs to be expanded. It's getting very stale seeing teams play each other three times in the league, and then if they see each other in the FFA Cup and the finals, they can play each other five times a season, which is certainly not conducive to a great product.
Yeah. All right,
have we got the players?
I think we do,
because Laurie. I know in rugby league, I'm still sceptical about whether we've got the players here to expand and make it a strong competition.
And you've got how many clubs?
We've got 16 at the moment.
Clubs in the NRL. Mm. So we've had 10. Mm. We've now got 11. We've got the highest participation rate. We haven't got our junior pathways right yet, but there's certainly plenty. If the opportunities are, you know what it's like, you dangle the carrot of an A-League spot there, that's extra motivation. When kids are looking up the tree going, well, there's only 10 or 11 clubs. There's four or five foreigners at each of them, two of which are goalkeepers. There's not a lot of opportunity there. So what's the motivation? The motivation is Europe. That's a stretch too far for a lot of kids until they've played in the A-League. So, what do? You drop a pebble in the pond? The old ripple effect.
Bernie Abini, he signed on with Newcastle, which is massive.
Yeah, I think this is great to see Bernie back in the A-League. I worked with him at the Mariners. His career certainly hasn't gone to the heights that we thought it would, mainly because of a really bad injury he got when he signed for Club Bruges. And I think it was his first week there on the training pitch. A teammate snapped his ankle and it's taken forever to get over that. He's had some clubs in the meantime, worked under Carl Robinson at Vancouver in the MLS. but it's great to see him back in the A-League. I think he'll be a massive in for Newcastle, provided he's fit. I haven't seen him play for a while, but provided he's fit, he'll get people to the stadium as well.
And the Wanderers gave us
a glimpse.
A glimpse of what they're capable of doing.
They did, Loz. And I said when John Paul Ramirini first took over, I think it was the Mariners, they played away, and they had Muller, Duke and Cox, their three front men, on the score sheet on the same day. And they've had that again on the weekend. So that's a great sign. Consistency is the key. Must be the key word at Wonderland. They have to come up with consistent wins back to back. They had a chance the other week, and they let that slip after the Mariners game. They've now got it again. That opportunity. They need to go back to back.
Do you see them making the finals? They're still 5 points away from sixth position.
No, I don't. To be honest. When I watch them play, you know, there's glimpses, as you just said, but it's largely uninspiring. If that's a word I can throw out there, it's just not that consistency of performance during games, and when they've got good teams with a chance to put their foot on the throat.
But they are a good team, aren't they? The Western Sydney Wanderers. By all reports, I keep reading that they've got a squad on paper that should be doing a lot better.
Mm. Absolutely, but what's gone before them to this point of the preseason and the season? You can't just flick that switch and all of a sudden they become a great football side on the pitch. That takes time. And I just don't think they're in the right space to do that. And if they do sneak in, are they going to be a threat?
Right. So it's not through lack of skill?
No.
So what's their application?
Well, the ingredients just haven't been right. And whether that was Marcus Babbel, because I know there was certainly times where he... publicly lambasted his players in pre-season as well before the ball had been kicked. So you wonder what the relationship was there. He's now gone. John Paul Demarini came in. He was the assistant during a time where it wasn't good. But he looks like he's flicked the switch a little bit mentally. But is that enough for a sustained push to win something this season? I think they've run out of time.
And just quickly, this live match, Liverpool 1, West Ham 1. So Liverpool on the attack again. 20 minutes in, Liverpool scoring first, but they were red-hot favourites and they should be winning this. And then obviously, you know, I guess the next match we're looking really looking forward to is that Atletico Madrid second leg, that Champions League. That's going to be a beauty.
Yeah, it will be. And that 1-0 loss away to Atleti wasn't terminal, I don't think. I think Liverpool will get them at home, which would obviously be massive. But yeah, they'll win this game this morning. I've got no doubt about that. But what about Sheffield United. What a sustained push they've had this season. They're sitting at the moment in seventh, only a point away from a Europa spot in fifth, which is Manchester United at the moment. 10 wins, 10 draws. The draws is probably what's cost them. There's a few games I remember watching where they could have turned one into 3 points. But first season back in the big league. A lot of people were tipping them to go straight back down. They're nowhere near the relegation zone.
We were going to talk to you on Thursday. We'll get your multi for the EPL then. Enjoy this remaining, 60-odd, 80 minutes of... not 80 minutes, but 70 minutes of Liverpool's match.
By the time I get from French's Forest to the City, we'll be 3-1 up.
You'll be watching on the phone? Do you cheer out on the bus?
I'll be driving.
Are you driving?
Oh, yes. We thought you were public transport.
We thought you'd be, you know.
Only on Fridays.
What, you got a car park in there as well?
Absolutely. Big glass building, the big NAB building.
Jeez, car park in town.
Just king.
Well, you're flying.
I'll tell you what you need to hear then. You need to listen to Silvio with the traffic report just to find out how bad the roads are at the moment.
And can't wait for that.
Here he is on the Big Sports Breakfast.
Cheers, boys.